भगवते वासुदेवाय
I sincerely welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple for this very wonderful Prerna festival. Tonight I was asked to speak on the subject, the power of prayer. I do not deserve to speak on such a high subject, but I pray to all of you to bear with me as I try. It is due to the power of one man's prayer that this temple is here. That there are over 500 temples of Krishna all over the world. It is the power of one man's prayer that we are all gathered together. One man who left India when he was 69 years old with 40 rupees on a cargo ship, in 1965, he left on Friday the 13th of August. He did not know anyone outside of India. He never did his whole life. He had several heart attacks, seasickness, on the ship, which was approximately 32 days of sailing at sea. And his idea was to spread the pure teachings of Bhagavad Gita and pure bhakti all over the world. What were his chances of success? Who travels abroad with 40 rupees on a cargo ship to start a worldwide movement with no contacts and less than $8? But on that ship, he wrote a beautiful prayer. It was not a prayer that he ever intended to be published or read by any other human being. It was his personal plea of humility to Lord Krishna from his heart. Praying that I do not know why you have brought me to this place where the modes of passion and ignorance are so high. Will they even understand the language I speak? It is only possible if you empower me. Because you are the Lord of all lords, and you are seated within everyone's heart. Only if you give me the power to speak and give them the power to understand is anything possible. I'm a puppet. And you have brought me here to dance. Now you can make me dance as you like me to dance, O Lord. Make me dance, according to your desire. He prayed, I have no devotion and I have no knowledge, but you have given me the name Bhaktivedanta. Now it is for you to fulfill the real purport of this name. These poor people, like puppets on the strings of passion and ignorance, the illusory energy is pushing them forward with the hope and false prospect of happiness through material adjustments, forgetting their eternal soul and forgetting their ever well-wishing Lord. Give me the power to help them. It was that prayer. He began in the Bowery, a ghetto of New York at that time. And within a few short years, tens and millions of his translations and purports of Bhagavad Gita in all the major languages of the world were being distributed. Hundreds of temples, tens and thousands of people dedicating their lives. Yes, it is by that one man's prayer that we are here together today. There are 9 processes of devotional service, according to Shastra. One of them is Bandhanam. One can attain the perfection of life by properly executing any of these 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing about the Lord, chanting the glories and the names of the Lord, remembering the Lord, offering prayers is one of those essential items of bhakti. Simply by learning the proper method of praying in the spirit, we can invoke the mercy of the Lord within our lives and know him face to face. The Vedic literatures are filled with hymns and prayers. In fact, within the Vedas, so much of the teachings are conveyed through the offering of prayers of great souls. Srimad Bhagavatam, which is considered the essence, the crest jewel of all Vedic literatures, is predominantly manifested through the prayers of the hearts of great souls. Gajendra, in many ways, was taking the role of all of us. He was in the jaws of the crocodile of death. Is anyone an exception to that law of nature? The jaws of death are clasping all of us. The power of time. As soon as a child is born in this world, we know one thing for sure, that someday that child will die. There are many mysteries that even astrologers cannot calculate properly. But any layman in the street knows that this person will die someday. That is the power of time. Yes, we are all in the jaws of the crocodile of death. It's just a matter of when he closes his mouth. Gajendra, very powerful, with a wonderful family, so many friends, supporters. But there was nothing he could do. He fought with all of his strength. He called out for help, but nobody could help. And in his desperate condition, he remembered prayers that he had learned in a previous life. This is the power of prayer. Krishna tells us in Gita, Neha Bikramanasosti Pratyavayo Nividyate Svalpamapyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobhaya. Any activities, any progress we make on the path of real spirituality is eternal. It is never lost. Even if we forget it sometime, it is still an investment that is waiting for us whenever we turn to it. If you make 70% spiritual progress and your life ends, you are guaranteed by the laws of God to begin your next birth at 71%. When prayers are offered from the heart with sincere devotion, they become a very integral part of the soul's journey. So although Gajendra was a completely materialistic person, in his helpless condition, when he was most in need, he remembered those prayers and offered, not as a formality, not as a ritual, but with genuine sincerity. Real prayer must come from the heart. Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, he once said that without affection and love, our prayers cannot be offered properly. What if we have no affection or love? If we sincerely pray for that love, Srila Prabhupada often explained, and he's repeating what the great saints have said since time immemorial. How should we pray to Krishna? Please give me love. When I have love, then I can properly pray. Because Krishna, he only really considers our devotion. He does not care for our memory power. He does not care for our poetic skills. If we have those and we use those with sincerity, then he will accept with great pleasure. But if we have none of that, little Dhruva, he was only 5 years old. He went to the forest seeking revenge on his father and mother for mistreating him. But he met Narada Muni, who taught him prayer and worship and devotion. And he became so purified through the process of chanting God's name and offering proper prayers. He became so pure that the Lord stood right before him. But Dhruva didn't know how to pray. He never went to school. 5 years old, it's before you learn all these things. But he had a desire. He had no poetic skills. He had nothing memorized whatsoever. But he wanted. He had a grateful heart. The Lord is so kind to me. I want to offer him my love. I want to pray for the benediction of eternal service. But he had no power to do. But the Lord, simply seeing his sincerity, touched his head with a conch and gave him the power to offer prayers that even today, long after, the great scholars and saints have been reading and getting great inspiration. So prayer must come from the heart. We could memorize prayers, and that's very nice. But even when we recite those prayers, they have to come from us, not from the person who spoke it thousands of years ago. And that is one of the great faults with religions all over the world. As people become very much attached to the external, superficial aspects of a spiritual path and neglect concentration on the essence. The essence is to transform our character, to become humble, compassionate instruments of the Lord, to purify our hearts and develop love for the Lord. That is the essence of every spiritual path. But when we got too much attached to externals, even prayers, there are people who can memorize and recite even the most glorious prayers. But if it is not built on the foundation of a sincere desire of the heart, it's just so many words. In their lives, they can be cruel, they can be hypocrites, they could be anything. Gajendra, he was not in a situation to be superficial or artificial. His was life and death. He prayed to the Lord with all humility. I'm helpless. I'm in such a lowly condition. I can't help myself, and nobody can help me. My Lord, you are all merciful. You are the controller of all controllers. You are always above the modes of material nature. I offer my heart to you. Please, my Lord, don't just deliver me from my predicament. Deliver me from the material conception of life, which is the cause of all of my problems, and accept me as your eternal servant. And Srimad Bhagavatam explains, in reciprocation to the power of his prayer, the Lord descended, delivered him, and brought him to the spiritual world. What was the power of little Prahlad's prayers? His father, Hiranyakashipu, he was so great. He conquered the worlds. Prahlad was just a small boy. When Lord Narasimhadev appeared to save him, he prayed to Lord Narasimhadev. What was his prayer? He began, "You are all merciful, you are all powerful, and who am I? I'm just a very lowly, unfortunate son of a demon like Hiranyakashipu. And I have so many bad qualities. I have no value whatsoever. But you are so kind, you are so merciful, that you have sent your devotee, Narada Muni, to teach me about you. And now I am so much ecstasy, so much happiness. The only benediction I pray as long as anyone is forgetful of you, let me remain in the material world to help them. And although my father tried to murder me in hundreds of ways, he hates me more than he hates anything. He hated me. Now he's dead by his own sins. If you want to give me a benediction, forgive him. Give him liberation. That was Prahlad's prayer. Queen Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, she was so humble. She considered, I'm just an ordinary woman. What do I know about high spiritual things? And I'm so much attached to all kinds of family affairs. But you are so beautiful. Every part of your body is like a lotus flower. You are so kind. It is only by your mercy that we have been saved from so many calamities. Sever my attachments to this world and let the calamities come again and again and again. Vipadashantu tashashwa tatra tatra jagat guru. Let calamities come upon me again and again so that I feel the necessity to always remember you and never forget you. Because in remembering you, all the miseries of material existence are gone. This was Kunti's prayer. Ambarisha's prayer. What a great personality Ambarish was. Durvas Muni tried to murder him for no reason at all. And when Durvas Muni was being punished by the Lord, none of Durvas Muni's powers could save him. But one thing saved him. What was that? Ambarish prayed for him. Ambarish prayed, Lord, forgive him. And the power of Ambarish's prayer was a million times more powerful than the greatest yogi on earth, Durvas Muni. That is power of prayer. Yes, the Vedas are filled with wonderful, wonderful great souls who have taught us the process of praying. We cannot imitate them. We are not so great. But we can study these prayers and enter into the spirit of their devotion. And then we learn how to pray ourselves to the Lord. Bhagavad Gita categorizes almost everything according to the three modes of material nature. And prayer can also be categorized in this way. There is prayer in Tamaguna, the mode of ignorance. Hiranyakashipu, he was praying to Lord Brahma that you are almighty, you are supreme, you are all great. He was praising Brahma in perfect Sanskrit language. But what was his prayer? To conquer others, to defeat his enemies, to be infallible in battle. It was prayer in the mode of ignorance. Ravana also. He got his powers through his tapasya and his prayers. And look at today's world. There are terrorists who often go right to the house of God and pray for the power to be successful in their terrorist activities. Most of the terrorists today have religious motives. At least, they think they do. And they pray. They pray for the power of torturing and killing people, innocent people. That is the extreme reality in today's world of prayer in the mode of ignorance. And how many people pray in the churches, masjids, temples, bihars, synagogues, in the mode of passion. God is my order supplier, praying for wealth, praying for fame, praying for power. That is prayer in Rajaguna, passion. And there is prayer in Sattvaguna, the mode of goodness, where we're praying for peace, for happiness, for goodness. We're praying for the welfare of others, for the health of others. Look at the power of Mother Teresa's prayer in the mode of goodness. When she came to Calcutta at Kali Ghat, she was just a tiny little woman from Eastern Europe. She had no money. She didn't have much education. But she prayed. She prayed from her heart, "Let me feed these people. Let me relieve these people from the suffering of their diseases. Let me help these orphans." She was not a businesswoman. She didn't have all kinds of wealthy contacts then. She only had one thing, her prayer. And by the power of her prayer, the Sisters of Charity, she won Nobel Prizes. She has tens and thousands of assistants all over the world dedicating their lives to her mission. That's prayer in the mode of goodness. And there's also prayer transcendental to the modes of nature. Krishna explains in Gita, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarachuna, that the ultimate goal of life is to transcend the modes of material nature. But we have to come to the platform of goodness before we can transcend the modes. When we are in the mode of goodness, then from there we can go to Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. Transcendental means that which is eternal, beyond the limitations of material energy. And there are two types of transcendentalists: the impersonalists and the personalists, the jnanis and the bhaktas. The impersonalists, they pray for mukti or liberation. And the bhaktas, they pray for prema, or unadulterated, unconditional, eternal, loving service. And we have explained how the shastras, the holy scriptures, are filled with prayers. And all great acharyas have left behind so many beautiful prayers to teach us how to pray. We repeat, we cannot imitate them, but we can study how they pray, what they pray for, what is their spirit, what is their sincerity. Mahajano yena katasa panta. The path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of great souls, to enter into that spirit with great attention and care is the path of perfection. There are four common elements that we find in the prayers of great souls. One is the glorification of the Lord from the heart, appreciating the mercy of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, the supreme position of the Lord. In Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastakam, 8 prayers that he wrote with his own hands, the Supreme Lord, in a role of a devotee, is teaching us how to pray. He's praying to the Lord in his holy name. He begins by glorifying the holy name. You are so kind. You are so merciful. You have descended in your holy name. It is the prime benediction for all humanity. Simply by chanting your holy name sincerely, it cleans the mirror of the heart, relieves us of our miseries, awakens the lotus of good fortune within us. It is the essence of all knowledge and learning. And ultimately, it gives us the taste of pure love that we are all longing for. And you are so kind, my Lord. Nam namakari bahudani jasarava shaktish. That you have personally descended in your name and invested all of your powers and energies in your name. All of your beauty, all of your opulence, all of your love and power is within your name. And you are so kind that in this age of Kali Yuga, when people are so disqualified spiritually, there are no hard and fast rules in chanting the names. Anyone could chant, regardless of caste, nationality, race, sex, education, social background. These things are all irrelevant. Aho bata svapa chotogariyam yag jivagre vartate namatubhyam. Even if one is considered by social standards an outcast, if one sincerely chants your holy names, that person can not only purify his own self, but can be a guru for the whole world and deliver everyone. But if a person, even born in Brahmin family, who has all the 25 qualities of a perfect Brahmin by social standards, if that person is not chanting your name with devotion, he cannot even deliver him or herself, what to speak of anyone else. This is the power of your name, my Lord. So he begins with glorification. And then there is the second element in prayer, humility and gratitude. Without these two principles, whatever we do is superficial, cannot satisfy the heart. Lord Chaitanya continues by saying, although you have descended with such kind mercy, I have no taste for chanting your holy names because of my offenses. And then he explains, what is the qualification to approach the Lord properly? Without which, it doesn't matter who you are or what you know, you cannot approach the Lord properly. The second element of prayer, humility and gratitude. Trinarapi sunichena taror ibase hishnuna amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahadi. One should feel oneself more humble than a blade of grass. One should be more tolerant than a tree. One should be willing and eager to offer all respects to others and expect none in return. Devoid of false prestige, in this spirit one can chant your name constantly, my Lord. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this verse, teaching us to be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, and respectful to all, He said, this jewel of the verse should be put on the string of the holy name and wore on one's heart always. And the third element of prayer is to pray for a benediction. Now, the great souls, what are they praying for? And what do common people pray for? We pray for good grades. But people who don't even pray get good grades sometimes. Yes? We pray for lots of money. But people who are atheists make lots of money sometimes. We pray for power. But sometimes people in the mode of ignorance get tremendous power. In fact, usually they're the ones that get it. The world today. So why should we pray for these things? When you approach a big person, you should ask for something big. So what do the great souls pray? Lord Chaitanya continues in his Shikshastakam what the spirit of real prayer is. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhaktirahoy tikitvai. Whatever anybody wants, he's saying, I don't want. He says, I do not want money. That's not why I'm approaching you. Now, let me translate this into modern language. It doesn't mean you don't earn money. It means that's not what you're approaching God for. There's something higher. He says, I do not want money. I do not want to enjoy with the opposite sex. I do not want prestige and fame. I do not even want liberation from suffering. I only want one thing from you, my Lord. Please, by your mercy, I do not deserve. Grant me unconditional loving service to you, birth after birth after birth. This is the benediction, Hiri. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patida mam vishame bhavambudo. Kripayata vapada pankaja stita duli sadrisam vichintaya. O son of Nanda Maharaj, O Krishna, I am your eternal servant, but somehow or other I have fallen into this ocean of material existence and I'm suffering. Please pick me up from this ocean of material existence. And what is he praying for? He doesn't say, make me God. He says, allow me to be a particle of dust, an atomic particle of dust at your lotus feet. Such humility. And he's not praying to be the only particle of dust in his lotus feet, or the foremost particle of dust in his lotus feet. The Lord's lotus feet has billions and trillions of particles of dust. Just let me be amongst them, clinging to your lotus feet. Nayanam galarashu daraya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira pulakar nichitam vapukada tava namagraha ne pavishyati. He's continuing the benediction he's asking for. When will that day be, my Lord? When will that day come? When I recite your name, my limbs tremble in ecstasy. My hair stand on end. Tears flow from my eyes, and my voice becomes choked up. Yugayatam nameshena chakshusha pravrishayatam sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahename. Oh Govinda, so humble. He's not proclaiming that I see God, I am great. Oh Govinda, feeling your separation, a moment seems like a millennium. And torrents of tears are pouring from my eyes, and the whole world is like a dreary void in your absence. Ashlisya vapadiratam panashtuma madarshana maramahatam kurotuva yatadatata vidatatu lampato matprananatastu se eva naparaha. He's praying in this verse in a spirit of surrender to the will of God. My Lord, I am your eternal servant. You can treat me any way you like. If you like, you can bring me the greatest happiness by embracing me. Or if you like, my Lamb, Lord, you can trample upon me. Or you can neglect me totally. You have every right to deal with me in any way you please. And I am happy because I am your servant unconditionally. In another place, Lord Chaitanya taught us a beautiful prayer. Naham vipronacha narapatiranapi vaishya nashudra. I'm not a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. These are all temporary designations. Man, woman, Indian, Pakistani, Russian, African, American, Australian, temporary designations. High caste, low caste, wealthy, poor, educated, uneducated. Even Hindu, Christian, Jew, Buddhist, atheist, they're all Jain, Parsi, they're all temporary designations. My Lord, I am praying only for one thing. The essence of life, Sanatan Dharma. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa 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 Das Anudas. Let me be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. Dhruva Maharaj, he was ashamed that he wanted so many material things for himself. When he saw the Lord, he said, I was looking for broken pieces of glass, but Hari Bhakti Sudodaya explains in this way, but I have found a rare diamond. I was looking for a kingdom and power and revenge, and I've received your love. Now I want nothing else. But still, the Lord told him, you should be king and you should perform your duty. But do it not out of greed, but perform your duty in a spirit of devotion. And the fourth characteristic that is very common in prayer is the prayer for forgiveness. Forgiveness for our offenses. Forgiveness for our sins. Forgiveness for our laziness. Forgiveness for our neglect. This does not mean that we have a psychotic condition of just regret. As Radhe Shyam Prabhu was so beautifully explaining, our thought process should always be in a positive line. Even regret and remorse for things that we have done or that we are doing should be with a positive spirit of improving, of correcting, of reforming, and of humbling ourselves to receive higher powers. Alcoholics Anonymous are the most successful organization for curing drug addicts and alcoholics. And the basic principle of their whole ideology is prayer. That I'm a victim of a power beyond myself. I'm helpless. I must access the higher power to help me. Humbling oneself in a spirit of apologizing and asking forgiveness for what we have done wrong and the power for rectification. Rupan Sanatan Goswami, when they approached the Lord, the power of their prayer was they conquered Krishna. What an example. Sanatan Goswami was the prime minister of the kingdom of Bengal, and his younger brother Rupa was the home minister. Finance minister as well. Great power, tremendous wealth. But when they approached Lord Chaitanya, they had straw between their teeth. First, they expressed the greatness of the Lord. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has descended in this world to deliver the most fallen. You are Patita Pavana. You have the power that no one else has to not only rescue us from the ordinary difficulties of the world, but you have the power to rescue us from the clutches of illusion and awaken the eternal soul's identity. But we are so fallen. We are an abominable association. More sinful than Jagai and Madhai. We have no right to even offer prayer to you, but by your kindness you are hearing us. They prayed in this way, with such humility from their heart, with such faith, that Lord Chaitanya wept tears. And the Lord had to stop them. Said, please stop this humility. It's breaking my heart. He had to pick them up. He placed his hands on their head and they went right down to his lotus feet. And then the Lord picked them up and embraced them. Initiated. Your name is now Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. The power of their prayer, because of its sincerity and its integrity, is it made the Lord cry in ecstasy and love. And not only that, it invoked the Lord to empower them in such a way that they could establish the highest principles of bhakti in the whole world for all time to come. That is the power of prayer. To follow in the footsteps of such souls is really the perfection of our lives. I would like to conclude by reading the prayers of Srila Prabhupada. Many great acharyas have prayed in a way that it is exemplary for all of us. An inspiration. And Srila Prabhupada, in these prayers, he wanted nothing for himself from God. He was praying for us. praying to the Lord to forgive us and to give us the highest happiness. This is the quality of an actual great soul. When Lord Jesus Christ was on crucifix, he was praying, "Dear Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do." Haridas Thakur, he was being beaten through 22 marketplaces brutally. The whole time he was praying, "Dear Krishna, forgive them. Give them your love." Vasudev Dutt prayed, "Let every living being who has karma go back to the spiritual world, and I'll take all their karma and suffer perpetually. That's the only prayer I want. That's my benediction. Please give me this." And the Lord wept tears because he was serious. When a great personality prays for us, the prayers of a sincere soul never go in vain, ever, for all of eternity. They may not externally appear to work out exactly according to our preferences, but the prayers of a great soul never go in vain. And anyone who has some sincerity, the Lord hears our prayers. One time our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he told one of his new disciples, "Pray for me." And that devotee said, "Swamiji, that's not going to do any good for you if I pray for you." And Srila Prabhupada, with all sincerity and folded palms, he said, "No, you are a Vaishnav, you are a devotee. Krishna will hear your prayers." However insignificant we are, God is within our heart. Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddheshe arjuna tishtati. The Lord is within the heart of every living being. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. The Lord hears. Bhagavad Gita tells, everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes and features. He hears everything. He sees everything. Prayer is an essential, fundamental element of every great religion, of every great spiritual path. It is the opportunity for us to come in the presence of God. It's not just a ritual. But it must be done properly. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, he was praying for all of us. One of the greatest things we can do for someone is to pray for them. But prayers must also be fortified with action and words. Prabhupada just didn't sit on the boat and pray. Prabhupada sat in the boat and prayed. But then, praying for the power to do something. And then he did. From the age of 70, he traveled around the world 13 times, and he was never in good health. And even his young 20-year-old American disciples could not keep up with him. This is prayer. And I was with Mother Teresa many years ago, and I remember a journalist asked her in my presence, "Where do you get your power to do what you do?" And she took out her rosary And she said, whatever little power I have is by my chanting of God's names. That's the power of prayer. So Srila Prabhupada, he wrote these prayers as a selfless instrument, praying for the power to serve, to help other human beings to attain life's ultimate joy, love of God. So please do listen carefully. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. At this time, he's at Boston Harbor in Jaladutta, an old cargo ship. I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most people from the east go to the west with promise of great prosperity. But Prabhupada saw it as a terrible place because he was coming from Vrindavan. He was coming to export the wealth of Vrindavan to the west. He wasn't coming to import the automobiles or other technologies to India. He was coming to export the love of God of Vrindavan to the West. As Srila Prabhupada explained, in those days, India was very much seen in the world as a very materially lame country, and America very strong. So Prabhupada explained that the wealth and technology of the West combined with the vision and the spirit of purity of the East can do the greatest benediction for the whole world. Like a lame man who can see getting on the shoulders of a blind man who can walk. The two can do great things together. So Prabhupada, previously in his diary, he writes, while he's on Jaladutta, sailing over the Arabian Sea after his heart attacks, I'm so far from Vrindavan, and I'm feeling deep separation from Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Damodar. But the Lord and my Gurudev have sent me on a mission, so I am happy. The next verse. Most of the population here is covered by the modes, material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudev. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. Now, Srila Prabhupada is speaking a philosophical truth. But one of the greatest mysteries is how a great personality applies that in their life. Even when Prabhupada was in the Bowery, living with alcoholics, drug addicts, prostitutes, they were the only ones around. He was just given just a little room. Somebody donated it. Everyone loved him because he was the only person that gave them respect. He was respecting the prostitutes. He was giving respect and honor to the drunkards and the thieves. He didn't agree. He's telling here, they're covered by the modes of ignorance and passion, and they're very materialistic. But still, he saw a child of God within their heart. He had no malice. He had no hatred. He had love. He had compassion. And similarly with many very, very wealthy, powerful, successful people that he met. He was a friend, a well-wisher to everyone. He was not fanatic. He was not judgmental. He understood the philosophy. He presented the philosophy. You're in a diseased condition, but I love you. Let me try to help you. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. Bhagavad Gita tells, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma karataham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul thinks him or herself to be the doer of activities when ultimately it's being carried out by nature. Prabhupada never thought, even when he was so successful, he never said, I have done this. He always gave credit to others. For whatever he did, he gave credit to others. He did unbelievable things. He worked so hard, so many sacrifices. And when someone complimented him, I have not done anything. It is by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. It is by the mercy of Krishna. It is by the kindness of all of these young people who have helped me. In 1973, I believe it was, in London, England, at Bhaktivedanta Manor, there was a ceremony where they installed the first deity, Radha Gokulananda, first deities on that property. And there were devotees from all over Europe, many from all over the world, who were coming to celebrate Prabhupada's birthday, Vyas Puja. They all came to honor him, to glorify him, to show their gratitude for all that he has given to us. And in Prabhupada's speech, he gave credit to everyone else. He said, I haven't done anything. All of you have done all the work. Prajumana, Mahashai, because of him, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is being given to the world. And Bhagavan and his wife, I don't remember her name, but he was glorifying Arundhati, Pradyumna's wife. He was glorifying all these young boys and girls, saying, you have done everything by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. From his heart, he was not asking Krishna, make me do it. Let me just be your instrument, but you are the doer, my Lord. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service, O Lord? I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. They will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless, powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated Bhaktivedanta, and now if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18th September 1965. Krishna knows everything. People ask, why should we pray if God already knows everything? He already knows our thoughts. Why should we say anything? So why should you do anything either? Because life is about reciprocation. Love is about reciprocation. Yes, the Lord knows our heart and the Lord knows our mind. But it pleases the Lord when by our free will we express ourselves with the proper intentions, the proper honesty and integrity. And the Lord will reciprocate. In personal prayer, whether we are repeating the words of the Shastric prayers or whether we take the spirit of the Shastric prayers and put it on our own words, help me to give up this envy. Help me to give up this lust. Help me to give up this greed. Help me to overcome this anger. Help me to serve you, to please you, and to be an instrument of your compassion. When we offer these prayers with sincerity, we enter into the presence of the Lord, and our lives are transformed. And what is the greatest of all prayers? How may I serve you? How may I love you? This Hare Krishna mantra has been explained by the acharyas in a spirit of prayer. Brihad Naradiya Purana declares, Harinama, Harinam, Harinam, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, the most powerful of all ways of purifying the heart and awakening our original spiritual consciousness is the chanting of God's names. And God has many names. But when we chant God's names with sincerity, without offenses, the name of God awakens our original spiritual essence, prema bhakti. But the acharyas have told us that we should, the particular prayerful state of our motives is how the name will reciprocate with us. If we are chanting the name of God with the intention of desiring some material benediction, we may get some material benediction. If we are chanting the name of God, hoping for liberation in the impersonal existence of the Lord, we may attain that. Hare is the name of Sri Radha, the all-powerful, all-sweet, all-loving feminine aspect of the Absolute, the mother of devotion. Krishna is the name of God, universal name of God, that the Lord is all-attractive, the object of everyone's heart's love. And Rama means that the Lord is the reservoir of all pleasure. Whatever pleasure we're seeking, the ultimate source of all pleasure, the infinite pleasure, is in our loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, Sri Ram. And when we chant in a spirit, O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in pleasing you through my sincere service. That is the ultimate prayer. Grant me your loving service eternally, Lord. When we invoke the presence of the Lord through his holy names in this spirit, very quickly we experience the mercy of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. So this is the prayer of all prayers according to the Vedic literatures, the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
But not mechanically, not sectarianly. With a real spirit of integrity, we must chant. Humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, eager to offer respect to all others and not expect for oneself. In this way, we can always be happy, and we can always feel God's love as we chant his holy names. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. My question is that you just now said that whatever is to be done with a lot of devotion. The prayer has to be done with a lot of sincerity and feeling. But when we meet great souls like you, that devotion develops. But after that, when we go into the real world, again that thing develops. So how do you keep that spark developed in you? That is my question.
I am not a great soul, but I will try to answer your question anyway. Just like you eat to get strength, yes? It's not that you just eat on Monday and then come back the next Sunday and eat again. Because you get weak. You have to regularly nourish yourself. So regular association with people who uplift us is all important. And regular connection with the Lord of our heart is very important. chanting God's name every day, reading from the scriptures regularly, offering sincere prayer in the footsteps of the great souls regularly, associating with people who inspire us. If we make this a priority, then spiritual life becomes very simple and very happy. Otherwise, it's difficult, because we get spiritually nourished, and then if we don't eat spiritual foodstuffs, which is in the form of what we have discussed, we gradually get weaker and weaker, because there is a lot of opposition to a pure life in this world, especially in Mumbai. Even more in Mumbai than in Bombay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes.
My question is, according to ISKCON tradition, all the women are called Matajis. So if all the women are called Matajis, how can we marry one?
For that reason, I never married. But if you do decide to get married, then you may not call her that particular lady Mataji anymore. But I don't know what you'll call her. Might be only the two of you know, but...
Hare Krishna.
Yes. Can you raise your hand so I can see who's... Yes.
Prabhuji said just now, in order to become a Brahmin, no need of 24 qualities. It's exactly right. Swami Vivekananda also said, you no need have to become a Brahmin. Vedas are from Brahma. You no need have to become a Brahmin. And in Bhagavatam, Sri Krishna also said, in order to reach God, if through Vedas not possible, you at least do karma. Through karma, you reach to God. But that's all. Hare Krishna.
The question is, what is the need to become Brahman? Is that the question? Oh, you're giving comment. Okay, thank you. There's one question on paper. When only in distress one is able to pray from the heart, otherwise it springs from the mind and is mechanical. Why is it so? But it is only in distress that the mind shuts down and allows us to pray from the heart. Does anyone else have this experience? By God's grace, there's plenty of distress within the world. That is exactly what Queen Kunti prayed. Vipada shantu tasha shvatatra tatra jagat guru. Queen Kunti says, when there's calamities, we have no alternative but to pray to you from our heart. But when things are going very nicely, then spirituality sometimes becomes just a formality. We just go through the motions. That is sometimes human nature. But we should cultivate a higher standard. Whether we are happy or distressed, we should be grateful. You don't have to be suffering to pray from the heart. You can also, at good times, be grateful from your heart. And that is even better. When you're successful and everything is going your way, it's a sunny day, you can thank God for your blessings. I don't deserve this. So much you're giving. You're giving me the air to breathe. You're giving me food to eat. You're giving me your holy name. You're giving me the association of great personalities. You're giving me so much. We should rejoice. That is also perfect prayer. In happiness or distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, success or failure, victory or defeat, heat or cold, health or disease. We can pray from our hearts. We could chant the names of the Lord from our hearts. Sometimes crying out for help when we're in distress, and sometimes in deep gratitude when things are very nice. But you should know, neither one will last for long. So we should be ready. Does that answer your question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj?
Yes.
Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, you said when we pray, we should have humility involved in it. So what exactly is this humility?
In the prayer that we read of Srila Prabhupada, I believe it's very beautifully illustrated. Humility really means honesty. Humility is about simply being truthful. What do we have to brag about? If God does not make the sun rise, what will you do? Did you create your brain? Did you create your eyes to see? Did you create your heart to beat? Did you create your arms to act? As they say in British parlance, do not be proud of borrowed plumes. Whatever we have is not ours. We have the free will to use what God gives us, either in a good way or an evil way, or in a spiritual way. We have that free will. And according to what we do and what we say, the karma is going to come back on us. But still, all the facilities we have to either use properly or misuse is coming from a power way beyond our own. You may be young and strong, but by the power of time, how long will you remain young and strong? The body is under the control of nature. The mind is under the control of nature. So humility really means to be honest. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo viridati kamam. This is spoken in the Upanishads. What does it mean? that there is one supreme eternal and all others are subordinate to that one supreme eternal. So the fact is we are always subordinate to the supreme. Hitler was subordinate to the supreme. The Lord gave him a mind and a body and he totally misused it and exploited and tortured and killed others and accumulated mountains and mountains, oceans and oceans of horrible karmas upon himself. But ultimately, he's dead and gone, and his soul has to go to the next place to meet his karmas. Alexander the Great, he came and conquered parts of India, but where is he now? He was conquered by time. So everyone is subordinate to the power of God. So to be humble means to be realistic and honest. To be proud is to simply be dishonest, ungrateful, and unrealistic. To be proud is an illusion. Of course, in the world today, to be proud is a very cool situation. People like proud people. But the fact is, it's an illusion. And it's a miserable condition to the heart. So humility means to just have enough integrity to be honest with the reality of our life before God. Does that answer your question? But it must be practiced and cultivated.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
I want to ask the two questions. First question is, what is the difference?
Just one question.
Just one. Okay. What is the difference between the words Om and Hare?
Hari Om?
No. Only Om and Hare.
Om Hari. What is the difference?
Between the two words, Om and...
Essentially, there is no difference. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. Lord Hari says, I am the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. Om is name of God. There is no difference between Hari and Om. But our consciousness is what makes the difference. If you are thinking of the threefold beautiful vending form of Gopinath when you chant Om, then Om will appear as Gopinath. But if you're thinking of the impersonal, all-pervading existence of the Lord, then Om will reveal in that way. So the name is one, in one sense, but the consciousness in which we approach the name is how the name will reveal to us. Om denotes the all-pervading foundational aspect of God's supreme existence. And Hari is a very personal description of God's nature. Hari means that one that steals away all the inauspicious things from our hearts. And reveals himself. That is Hari. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, you mentioned that when you pray, it should come from heart. So generally, many times it's a mechanical. So in that case, should we try to artificially cry out and pray, or it will come gradually and we can pray from heart?
We should not artificially, but we should sincerely. If we do not have sincerity and affection, we can honestly pray for honesty and affection. Our Guru Maharaj said, everything is based on our desire. Our whole life is built upon the foundation of our desires. If you desire God, you will get God according to the nature of that desire. So someone said to Prabhupada, what if we have no desire? So that's not a problem. Desire the desire. And if you can't do that, then desire the desire for the desire. And if you can't do that, then desire the desire for the desire of the desire for the desire. But we all have the power to desire. And no one can take that away from us. It's a question of what we desire. We should not make a show. That is hypocrisy. We should not pray for people to honor us as saintly persons. That is another type of false pride. That is facade. The Lord sees the honesty and sincerity of our intention. Or as explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord accepts the purpose in which everything is offered. The Lord does not accept the thing, because the Lord needs no things. He already has everything. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He's already the proprietor of anything that exists. What can you give God? Does he need your money? Does he need your intelligence? He's giving it all to you. But if you offer any of those things with sincere devotion, the Lord accepts. He accepts the purpose in which we offer what we offer. Not the thing, but the purpose, the intention. And great persons will never think, I pray very perfectly. We have just read Rupan Sanatan Goswami. They're saying, we don't know how to pray. We don't deserve to pray to you. But we have no recourse. We have nowhere else to turn. So we're speaking whatever little we can. And those prayers are celebrated through forever because of their sincerity, because of the purity of the purpose. Thank you. Is there another question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Just tell me whenever I should end and I will be happy to end.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes, Prabhu.
Sometimes we start chanting for some self-interest or in form of prayers for somebody else. And it is not, sometimes it happens that it is not fulfilled. So it creates a lot of dissatisfaction and again we tend to stop chanting or we lose mood in chanting. How can we cope up with this situation?
It's not fruitful.
Yeah, exactly. It's not fruitful.
That is why we have explained that we learn how to pray from the scriptures and from the great personalities. Jesus was happily praying on the cross. Have you ever been through that? Srila Prabhupada was offering his prayers after several heart attacks. And even after that, when he was in New York City, whatever little he had, he was robbed. Everything was stolen from him. So yes, we must learn from these souls. Prahlad Maharaj was praying and he was getting thrown in pits of snakes, blazing fire, thrown in oceans, fed poison. We have read the prayers of Lord Chaitanya. Ashlisya va padara tam vanashtu mama darshana maramahatam kurotuva. Krishna consciousness is the science of unconditional love. We're enthusiastic for the sake of service to the Supreme, not for the sake of getting our way, because the Lord knows what's best for us. We shouldn't be like a spoiled child, that if the child doesn't get what the parents, from the parents, what he or she wants, just holds a tantrum. Yes? The parent knows what we should have and knows what we shouldn't have. And we may not understand it ourselves. When you were a child, did you always understand why your parents didn't give you what you want? It's very difficult. But we have faith that they know what's best for us. They want what's best for us. Yes? And in the case of the Lord, he is the perfect parent. Radharani is the perfect mother. Krishna is the perfect father. So this all comes with the development of faith. If we have proper faith, and faith is not just some superstitious belief. Real faith is scientifically, philosophically substantiated by authority, realization of others, ourselves, and evidence. That we can be practically perceived and proven in our lives. That is faith. A person who has faith of God, in real faith in God, it can be established on scientific, philosophical, logical basis, wherein atheism can never hold ground on those bases. Faith comes by associating with people who have faith and engaging in activities that nourish our faith. And when we have that faith, then even when things are not going our way, we are equally enthusiastic. Because it really doesn't matter whether things go our way. What really matters is our integrity and our sincerity. And sometimes, if Prabhupada didn't go through all these crises that we're talking about, we wouldn't appreciate him as much. If he was given a free ticket on Air India to New York City and he had 1,000 followers with Cadillacs and Mercedes waiting in procession for him, we would say, oh, very nice. But he came on a cargo ship and there was nobody waiting for him. He was just walking, looking this way and that way in New York Harbor. But because he passed through those experiences, it's glorious. And similarly for you. What makes you great is both the successes and the failures. When you get what you want and when you don't get what you want. If you maintain your integrity, your dignity, and your enthusiasm, that's what makes a person great. Even in the material sense, that's what makes a person great. And especially in the spiritual sense. To not give up. Because we have faith. We're not getting what we want. In fact, we're getting just the opposite. Thank you, Krishna. Hare Krishna. We carry on. That's what gives us inner substance and strength. Even an athlete. An athlete gets strong through the process of resistance. Yes? If you want to actually gain strength, the more resistance, the more you can gain. When you lift weights, you're resisting the laws of gravity. The weight is pushing down and you're pushing up and it's pushing down and up. And then you become strong from just dealing with that resistance. If you just say, it's too heavy, forget it, then you'll never become strong. Right? You'll just lay down and eat potato chips and watch television. At the best. You'll never become strong doing that. But it's resistance. And a runner, he's running and you're tired. Fatigue is resistance, but you keep running and running and running and the lungs are... The mind is saying, stop, stop, just go to sleep, you know. The intelligence is going, no, I guess. So you're resisting fatigue, you're resisting weight. And studies is all about resistance, is it not? The mind just wants to think about the girl sitting next to you or something like that. And you're, mathematics, you know. I have to just resist. I have to resist this and just focus on, you know, this mathematical equation. Yes? That's how you become intelligent, through resistance. So in spiritual life, there is much resistance coming from both within and without. And we become powerful. We become empowered to the degree we're willing to face that resistance and grow with it. Does that answer your question? Arivo.
Prabhuji, why is it required to do 16 rounds of chanting rather than having, you know, 1 to 2 rounds of chanting in a day?
You can do 1 to 2 rounds also.
I'm doing, 1 to 2 rounds, but one of my, means from where I got inspired, he said me like, you eat for 2 to 3 times in a day. So that is why you should do, you know, chanting of Hare Krishna for...
That is based on our free will.
But why is it required to do 16 rounds only? Why not 8 or why not 4? Or why is it a standard? Like?
Because the great souls, the self-realized souls, they know better than us. It's like if a doctor tells you, take 2 tablets 3 times a day, and you say, well, why not 5 tablets 8 times a day? Because if you were so knowledgeable, you wouldn't be sick. So same thing. The great personalities, they know what medicine is good. Enechi ashadi maya nashi barohalagi. Hari namaha mantra lao tumi magi. The best medicine in this age of Kali is the holy name. And the great souls know what doses will have the greatest effect. So it is the recommendation of self-realized souls who have realized the truth, who are telling us, chant at least 16 rounds, this will be most beneficial for you. But if you can't chant 16, chant 1 or 2, that's all right. But if you want more benefit, this is how you can do. Does that answer your question? Thank you.